everybody, and welcome to The Great Indoors. This is episode 6 of season 8, coming to you from MWC 2024 in Barcelona. Now, we talked about it in episode 1, but Mobile World Congress is highly global in scope and scale, attracting participants from all corners of the telecommunications and technology sectors. International attendance involves attendees from over 200 countries, including CEOs, senior executives, and decision makers from the top mobile operators, technology providers, and content owners. At Amdocs, we operate in around 90 countries across the planet, and this gives us a unique insight in market dynamics and how they differ across the globe. Indeed, one of our unique differentiators in the telecom space is that global perspective. So how varied can that perspective be? Welcome to The Great Indoors, a podcast where we look at the technological implications brought about by the next industrial revolution and how this can potentially help solve the biggest problems facing humanity. I'm your host, Matthew Roberts, and joining me as ever is my co-pilot and producer, Larissa Yee. Now, I don't need to tell you again, but this whole season is coming from Barcelona MWC 2024, and it's certainly bigger and better than ever before. As I keep mentioning, the Amdocs booth and podcast recording area are simply stunning, and our guests during this show are just exemplary. So over the coming weeks, as we continue this season, we will continue to bring you actual conversations recorded from the biggest telecom show on the planet, and every single one is incredible. So what do we have in store for you today? Well, as I mentioned in my opening there, I talked about global scale and how varied those global perspectives can be. So today will be a fascinating exploration in how diverse landscapes shape telecommunication strategies across different markets, specifically the Philippines, the United States, and Kazakhstan. I think you'll agree that's a pretty eclectic mix. And each of these countries presents a unique case study in the global tapestry of digital communication, influenced by their distinct market dynamics, consumer demand, and regulatory environment. So we're going to start off in the Philippines, a burgeoning market where the primary goal is expanding access and ensuring affordability across an archipelago with more than 7,000 islands. The challenges here are as much geographical as they are economic, with a focus on mobile penetration and internet accessibility to support a highly social and mobile-first consumer base. We'll then cross over to the United States, where we see a market that epitomizes technological advancement and competitive dynamism. Here, telecom strategies are driven by innovation, with a strong emphasis on deploying cutting-edge technologies such as 5G and IoT. This approach is not just about enhancing existing connectivity, but is pivotal in integrating digital technology in every aspect of our lives, from the home to autonomous vehicles, the workplace, and beyond. And then we're going to journey to a country we've never, ever had a guest from before, and that's Kazakhstan, an enormous emerging player whose telecoms landscape is characterized by a vigorous push towards improving infrastructure and increasing digital literacy, and more specifically, digital content as part of its broader economic development goals. So I'm going to take you around the world in around 45 minutes. And in today's episode, I'm honored to welcome Darius Jose Delgado, the head of consumer mobile at Globe in the Philippines. He'll be speaking to me alongside Amdocs' CMO, Mr. Gil Rosen, who you would have heard from before. Then from Cox Mobile in the United States of America, I'm delighted to welcome Mr. Tony Cruitt, the SVP of their mobile division. And he'll be joining me alongside Pablo Chela, Amdocs' division president of CMT. And then we're going to bring it home with Mr. Alexey Sharovar, the CEO of Casco in Kazakhstan. That's a pretty global lineup, I think you'll agree. So buckle up, let's get started. So here we are, MWC 2024. I have to remember the year. The Great Indoors has landed in Barcelona. our first guest of the week from Globe Telecom is Darius Jose Delgado, and you're the head of consumer mobile at Globe, right? Yeah. So welcome, Darius.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy.
Excellent. And also joining me, my trusty co-host, Amdocs' chief marketing officer, and also a veteran of this podcast and others, Mr. Gil Rosen. Welcome, Gil.
Well, and welcome, Matt, the founder and prime host.
Thank you.
Of the podcast.
Thank you. So let's get going, Darius. I know you've already had a busy morning. For our listeners, give us a little bit about your role and your history at Globe, if you could, Darius.
Okay. So I've been with Globe for 21 years. I've done a lot of stints across the enabling groups. I did the small and medium business. I was sales head then, and then I went into broadband. During my fifth year in broadband, I was the head of consumer broadband. A year after, I was installed as the consumer mobile head. And then 2 years after, concurrently with the mobile headship, I'm also the chief commercial officer in charge.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you have a pretty broad, big role.
Yeah.
It's fair to say.
I can say that.
And you know, last year, we were really fortunate to have Ernest, the CEO, and Isa on the podcast. We had great, fantastic conversation. And they talked very much about the telco to techco strategy.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about a number of the businesses that were coming out of that.
Right.
What would you consider to be the most significant of those businesses?
We believe that's the future of telco, to have use cases that are going to be addressed by other services, solving societal pain points that are larger than just connectivity. And during that process, the Globe Group has actually delivered propositions on health tech, fintech, edutech, and a host of others. But biggest amongst all is actually fintech.
Fintech.
So, fintech.
Oh,
so
hey,
that's
Mint.
GCash. That's GCash of Mint.
Yeah.
So that's the number one finance super app in the Philippines. So in the app, you can purchase your prepaid reloads or recharges. You can pay your bills. You can send money to anyone in the Philippines. And you can even send money to banks of your choice. You can purchase merchandise from 6 million merchants and social sellers. You also have access to savings accounts. You also have access to loans, credit, and even investment and insurance. So it's a host of products that actually solve a lot of problems for the Filipinos. And as of today, there's about 94 million Filipinos who have tried the GCash app.
Wow.
And it's the only duocorn in the Philippines.
Wow.
That's so it's great. And all of the things that I've said are actually anchored on our purpose of uplifting the lives of Filipinos in the nation.
When you start a venture like that, now you're at a critical mass already, but when you got started, how do you use your core asset, which is the telecom, in order to drive it? And how did the growth look like?
It's a lot of cross-selling to the Globe base, because it's automatically the captive market of GCash when it started. It ballooned in terms of growth during the pandemic because people were in lockdown. People weren't able to go out and have cash and even purchase merchandise with cash. People were compelled to actually adopt GCash. And since then, there were consistent, tremendous growth opportunities on the GCash side. And also, because we're the main captive market when it started, we also benefited from those synergies.
Is it agnostic also to
It's agnostic.
Agnostic.
Yeah. That's the reason why they have 94 million customers.
Yeah.
Because they also have competitive subs.
Yeah.
But we're the biggest.
So let's flip forward now and talk about the strategy moving forward and the core business, and particularly the core telco business.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Darius, and what's the strategy for Globe moving forward?
So let's break it down according to business lines. So starting from mobile, we've seen tremendous growth for mobile since 2020. In fact, we closed 2023 with 6% year-on-year GSR growth when our comparator benchmark operators are only growing from 1% to 3%. And it's born out of our initiatives on monetization. We have streamlined the portfolio such that it compels customers to buy more and upgrade to higher SKUs. At the same time, we have kept the brands relevant in the market by delivering experiences to our new product. Because beyond MDS and connectivity, what's the next use case?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So equally relevant for the telco business, especially mobile, is to re-engineer or reinvent the way we deliver our services to the customers beyond connectivity. And it's a lot of partnerships to strengthen the entire ecosystem because we cannot solve the biggest problems of society.
Can you give like an example which created a interesting traction of the partnership?
Yeah, for example, we were the purveyors in bringing the content partnerships years back, like with Netflix, with Facebook, with Spotify, and that created real use cases for the customers to consume more GBs or more MDS.
Yeah.
And now we're transitioning beyond the core, partnering with fintech services, embedding them in our core offerings. We have health tech also, we call Consulta MD. That's a very promising service or product that actually addresses one of the main pain points of the masses today.
And that's because of the geography of the Philippines, right?
Yeah, the socioeconomic status or situation.
Also the island situation, so there isn't a doctor available in every...
You cannot get to scale if you are offline.
Yeah.
It has to be digital, so you're more pervasive and you reach more customers.
Wow. I want to ask maybe a question that relates to your history and also what you do today. This thing we call connectivity has traditionally been split between broadband and mobile.
Yeah.
And now with 5G and fiber and the technology is getting better, the difference in potential quality between the two is in many use cases is not relevant, meaning they're interchangeable. The businesses which you were traditionally split, if there's starting to become even a organization convergence where you don't treat mobile on the right hand side and fiber on the left hand side, or broadband in the home versus mobile on the go, and it becomes more
fungible.
How is that evolving in both?
In terms of organization, it's still split because in terms of the maturity of the industry of mobile versus broadband, they're in different stages. Broadband as a market is just like less than 30% penetrated in the Philippines versus mobile, it's over 100%.
Wow.
And there's high multi-SIM incidence, which you see also in comparator operator or markets, right? How we see broadband versus mobile is that they just fulfill or address different use cases of internet. It's just an internet product. So more and more, we are approaching the market and we are executing our plans in a converged way. Not organizationally, but in terms of the ways of working, in terms of processes, in terms of offer creation, in terms of offer delivery to the customer. Yeah. It has to be one. It's converging.
Yes.
Because more and more, we have to treat the customer as one.
Yes.
With different use cases or different requirements served by different technologies. And my belief also as the head of mobile, we need to keep on increasing or lengthening the runway of mobile growth. And mobile growth will have limited potential if we don't conquer the home, the Filipino home together with broadband.
Yeah.
So can you just imagine a Filipino home that has mobile subscriptions on Globe and also have Globe at Home on fiber? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's for binging, whether it's for snacking on the go at home, it's Globe. And based on the statistics that we've seen in the base, customers who have both Globe mobile subscriptions bundled with a Globe at Home fiber connection stays with us for more than 4 years.
Yeah.
79% of them stay with us.
Yeah, customer loyalty is much higher.
It's more sticky.
Yeah.
I've heard of a lot of experiences and use cases from other operators, and they keep on saying you bundle it together so that the relationship is stickier, but I haven't heard of any statistic that actually prove that.
You have an interesting product that I'm not sure exists in many places, which is a prepaid bundle.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
So just the context of the landscape and the opportunity. So we are basically an 80% mass market population. We're relatively poor. The affluent ones, which we tag as ABC, are just like less than 20% of the entire population. So if you want to get to scale, and if you want to really uplift as many lives as possible across the Filipino homes, the mass market is the way to go. And therefore, we created the right product for the right market. In most of the markets that you will see in the world, it's always postpaid. They want to encroach on the D market or the mass market, they lower the postpaid price. So we created a distinct proposition and product in prepaid fiber. So they just pay upfront for installation in the modem, and then they reload as they go whenever they want.
And it's a
in sachet priced SKUs. When you look at the mass market, which is 80% of the population, the broadband penetration there is less than 20%. Mm. What's driving the 30% national broadband penetration is really the very high penetration of the ABC market, which is now at 93%. So can you just imagine the opportunity to serve more Filipino homes with that kind of a product? It's affordable, it's reloadable, it's very reliable. And based on the stats of existing subscribers that we have today, they have the highest reload rates in ARPUs of any prepaid brand in the market.
That's very interesting. So it's
very encouraging.
It has a different dynamic than the mobile.
Yes, because it's fiber. Except that they cannot afford the postpaid plan. You push it to them, they churn.
And I have a question about fiber. Obviously, that's clearly the growth opportunity. But the 57 million mobile subscribers you have. So clearly there's an opportunity. Something we see in North America is there's a resource deficit in being able to roll out the fiber at speed.
Yeah.
Are you facing similar constraints in the Philippines?
I think we're in the same boat, except that now we have built 2.5 million sellable lines. So that's enough for us to saturate before we embark on the next wave of builds for fiber. In most of the markets where they started postpaid on broadband, and they are bigger in terms of the size in broadband versus their mobile business.
Yeah.
What they do is they bundle it so that they poach competitive subs on mobile, switching them via that bundle because fiber is more important, quote unquote, than mobile. Mobile seems to be disposable. Yeah. In the Philippines, especially for Globe, it's different because we move from strength to strength. We want to leverage where we're strong at, which is mobile. We have the best brand equities in the market. And what we've seen is that amongst the 57 million customers that we have on mobile, only 20% of them have broadband at home. So that's huge opportunity.
Yeah.
And what we're also leveraging is our clout and breadth in our synergies with GCash. Because most of the customers on mobile have GCash accounts and they don't have broadband accounts. So very easy to cross-sell. They're easily a captive market in the GCash app.
So, do you do promotion in GCash?
Oh, yes.
So Globe, like a push?
Yes, it's a great awareness channel.
It's a beautiful channel.
It's a great conversion channel. You have 94 million customers there.
Wow.
That's massive.
And have your competitors tried to launch an equivalent to GCash or is it too late?
No.
Game over.
They have. But GCash is 5 times of their active pace. So
yeah.
GCash has clearly pulled away from competition.
I wanted to ask you because you mentioned it and it's one of the things that always pulled me when I worked on the operator side in a specific country is that you really are impacting society.
Mm.
And your mission statement is such. Do you feel that customers connecting to Globe really understand your brand aspiration regarding uplifting the lives of Filipinos? Is that something that really comes through in the advertising and how they understand the brand?
I think we're not yet there, to be honest. It takes a lot of awareness campaigns and brand building campaigns to actually achieve that. Mm-hmm. But we're on the right direction. And it takes also time in the mind space of the customers to understand a techco aspiration in a telco space.
Yeah,
they're used to pricing. They're used to SKUs. They're used to MDS. They're used to core, SMS, voice, etc. And what we're trying to do is to actually shift it to techco, where we solve other problems other than connectivity, such that at the end game will be your Globe subscriptions are the only plans you need.
That's a very ambitious aspiration. Will retail be part of it? I understand Consulta for healthcare. I understand finance. What are maybe more exotic areas that you might put your hands on to try to provide value to your customers?
We became the number one mobile brand in the Philippines starting 2016 and have retained leadership for the last 8 years.
Wow.
And it was driven by pervasive offline distribution. What we're trying to do now is just transform even the retailer footprint and make them sell more products, sort of a mass market retailer shop. That's a different format versus our traditional stores, which cater mostly for postpaid customers.
Now, you chose, for instance, the healthcare service is called Consulta.
Yeah.
Is it associated with Globe in a tight way?
Yes.
Is it Globe Consulta? Because then
the brand association.
Yeah, on scale, it's hard to push what we call house of brands. It's
correct,
the more expensive choice.
Correct. Normally, if you're establishing a particular brand, you do it on a standalone basis because the proposition is healthcare and therefore you build a brand on healthcare or health tech. However, you're not leveraging the clout that you have in Globe.
No.
That captive market, like almost 50% of my loading base is actually from the mass market, from my value brand. That's the second biggest prepaid brand in the Philippines. So can you just imagine KMD or Consulta MD borrowing equity from TM, which is so entrenched in the masses? And then the equities will halo to each other.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to start doing now.
We've talked about Globe as a mobile carrier, the success you have, the amount of penetration in the mobile space in the Philippines. We've talked about how there's huge opportunity and upside in broadband and leveraging the captive audience of Globe to go after that market. Yeah. We've talked about how GCash helps as a lever in bringing that captive audience together as well.
Right.
And we've also talked about the brand and the power of the brand and how you're doing it. What about your content strategy, Darius?
Let's begin with how we slice and dice segment because it's all about inciting. So we have a lot of segmentation approaches. So we start with the life stage because in different life stages, there will be different needs and passion points also. We also juxtapose that kind of a view with the habituation cycle for MDS. How habituated they are. Are they trialists? Are they bingers? Are they maximizers, etc.? And then the other lens is their values. Are they passion driven or passion points driven? Are they thriving Pinoys? Are they about just subsistence? Are they captains who want to be in command? The ABC market, the affluent market, the postpaid market, they want to be in control. And they're all about progression and badge worthiness and having status in society.
Yeah.
So all those lenses put together, those are the main sources of our insights. And then we also blend it with our market research, our internal analytics. So it's a robust set of inciting sources.
Yeah.
And that leads us to how do we need to approach a particular segment in how we serve up content. Now, content has two dimensions. One, the robustness and the relevance of the content relative to the target segment you're approaching or addressing or talking to. Second, an equally important dimension is the way you deliver the content. It has to be deliberate, purposive, at the right moment. Right? At the right price, at the right package, at the right visuals, right language. So you get the attention of the customers when you deliver it versus it's a spray gun approach that everyone gets it. You will reach a certain level of saturation in their mind space. It becomes spam.
Yeah.
It's going to destroy your channel. It's going to destroy your communication. So it's a combination of how relevant and robust your content portfolio is for B2C. At the same time, what's the right mechanism to deliver?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. I have a very interesting question that relates to basically everything that we see here with in this entire conference. The impact of generative AI and you as an executive, and you talk now about all these different segments and parameters which influence the segments. And then we have the Gen AI come in and maybe show us like a different picture because it understands different connections that we've never seen before.
Correct.
Are you looking forward? What gets you most interested? Have you seen something super interesting in this domain? What can you reflect on?
We're actually pursuing and discovering a lot of options for Gen AI, but we go back to our objective of how do we actually serve the customers better? How do we actually predict their needs even before they realize they needed it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think AI is a technology or a tool that can actually deliver us that kind of a benefit.
Yeah.
So we're exploring different solutions.
Okay, we're almost out of time, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
The time has flown by. But before we
did you enjoy it? I had a great time.
Yeah,
we're
not super interesting.
We're not quite over. But how we finish the podcast is with a bit of fun. It's called TGI to Go. And we're going to find out a little bit more about you. So let's start. TGI to Go.
TGI to Go.
Question number one. If you had to go to Bangkok or Bali, which one would you rather
go to? Bangkok because of the food.
Bali because I haven't been.
Football or basketball?
Basketball.
Which football? Soccer. It's a tough question. I'd go with basketball, but I am a big fan of football.
Would you rather go biking or swimming?
Swimming. Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah. Wow. For me, it's also a tough one. I bike on a daily basis. So I live in Tel Aviv and cars are useless. I have a single speed bike. I bike a lot. I like biking, but I also live next to the ocean and I like swimming. You got me there.
There you go. And to finish it, would you rather sit down and watch a good drama or a comedy?
I'd rather sleep.
Yeah, I usually watch a comedy before I go to sleep just so I'm in the right mood.
Okay. Well, Darius, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So welcome back to The Great Indoors. It's day one here at Barcelona. Fantastic moment so far. I'm really excited and honored to welcome our next guest on the show this morning. It's Tony Kruick, SVP of Cox. And I'm also going to be joined by Pablo Cella, our Divisional President for CMT. So gentlemen, welcome both of you to The Great Indoors.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks great to have us. You here. Let's begin. Let's dig into this. So Tony, just for our listeners, give a bit of a history of yourself and your role at Cox, and more specifically, obviously, in the mobile domain.
I've been pretty much in the mobile business my entire career. Right out of college, went in to start building and deploying wireless networks. It was all analog. It was all like amps, NAMPs, that kind of stuff, if you're familiar with that. And then throughout my entire career, been involved in basically deploying, designing wireless networks, and then eventually moved up into the product space, started designing customer journeys and deploying customer journeys. Spent some time in Canada at TELUS working in the B2B space. Ultimately came back to the States. I ended up working at Cox about 9 years ago. And through, I thought for the first time, joining Cox, I would not be in the wireless arena. Wireless keeps finding me. Within 3-4 years of working at Cox, we started looking at the different spectrum auctions. And we were just trying to look at the possibility of whether or not Cox would want to be interested in purchasing spectrum. And we decided the only way we were going to buy spectrum was if we wanted to get back into a retail wireless game. And lo and behold, after years of working on business cases and modeling and ultimately getting a case approved, I was given the opportunity to design Cox Mobile, launch it, and now I have the privilege of operating it for the business.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, it was a year ago to the day we met Catherine from Cox here at the show.
Yes.
And you've just done your big announcement at that time. We had a great conversation. What's happened in those 12 months now that we're back here?
I would say we were very happy with the operational performance of all of the different platforms. We have 17 different partners that enable Cox Mobile. And so we had to not only do all of our design work internally, we had to get all of our partners to support our platforms as well. And everything worked fairly seamlessly as we started to grow. I mean, a lot of the focus in our first year of business is how to accelerate growth faster and faster over time. As soon as they hear Cox, even when you associate wireless or mobile with Cox, people's minds immediately go to Wi-Fi. And so trying to get people to understand that, no, we're a full-fledged wireless carrier and we want our customers to know that. The building that awareness has been a bit of a challenge. If you think about the growth we've seen thus far, we have about 10%, but based on studies we've done, 10% of our existing customer base even realize that we're in the wireless business.
Right.
It just takes a long time to grow that. So when you think about the percentage of our customers we're bringing on to our platform and how many of them are already existing Cox customers, the fact that we've grown as we have in our first year and really have only addressed 10% of our base, I mean, we feel pretty good about the amount of growth that we've seen. As we head into this year, it's going to be all about continuing to drive that growth.
That's wonderful. And you talk about the history of the brand and the association consumers in your footprint have with the brand. Has that helped your mobile proposition?
I think there's two sides of the coin because, like I said, people already have an interpretation and a perception of what Cox is. And we are a cable company with broadband solutions and TV solutions. So that actually, I think, hinders us a little bit in that that's the perception that everybody has. Getting everybody to cross the line to say, oh, they're a wireless carrier now too, is challenging. And so in some respects, I think having that existing name in the marketplace is very helpful.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have to break a perception that already exists in the marketplace, which is difficult.
And it's interesting because your target base initially will be those broadband cable customers, right?
Yeah, we have, I would say, about 85% of the customers we acquire for Cox Mobile are existing broadband customers.
So if we go to the present day, that's the last 12 months view. What are your thoughts for the next 12 months? So it's a year now, pretty much, for Cox Mobile. What does the next year have in store for us, Tony?
So obviously, entering our second year, it's all about getting to scale, driving growth as fast as we can. When you look at the different initiatives that we have planned for 2024, there's a significant number of growth initiatives that we are focused on. Different pricing schemes. We have more coming with respect to converging more and more over time. We have some things that are just blocking and tackling that when we try to get to market, there's certain things that you had to put to the side for a little bit. And we're getting to some of those standard features and capabilities that are going to help drive growth. So there's a lot of that. But I'd say if I had to sum it up in one sentence, we are going to launch many initiatives to help drive a faster growth environment for our customers.
That's excellent. Now, we talked about this last night over a drink when we first met.
Yes.
Tell our listeners a little bit about what you guys did at the Super Bowl, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that we obviously Las Vegas is one of Cox's premier markets for us. We have invested a lot in Allegiant Stadium, where the Super Bowl was held. And we have literally hundreds of miles of fiber running inside of the stadium. We have thousands of hotspots to provide connectivity for all customers in the stadium.
All right. Excellent. Now, something a guest said to me earlier that I thought was really interesting. They said in order to grow their mobile business, they need to win the home. Right. Which I thought was interesting. And it was from a different part of the world. But in many respects, you're already in the home. So do you think that's a unique differentiator? Does that give you an advantage based on that kind of statement?
When you hear about convergence and the ability to provide connective capabilities across the home and on the go, we have been in the home connectivity market for decades. Having that embedded with all of our customers, like 100% of our customers, adding mobile to that play is obviously a lot simpler for somebody that already has half of the equation. And I would say when you think about somebody that's been in the home business versus the mobile business, getting access inside the home is a lot harder.
Yeah.
So having that as a baseline set of customers and capabilities is a really good place to start from.
It's a really good place to start from.
Yeah.
So switching to today, MWC, when we were here 2 years ago, everything was metaverse, 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 metaverse. And it's been surpassed somewhat with the hype of generative AI. We know that. So it's good to see that it hasn't gone away. The Apple Vision Pro was like the defibrillator, if you will, for the metaverse again.
Yeah.
And I think the home is obviously the place where VR begins, because you're typically not going to take that out. But let's go to generative AI. And so how do you think, have you started thinking about generative AI in the framework of what you need to do at Cox and how it could help you in the business?
There's a couple of different areas, and we're still very early days, but we're running trials to see how we could use it to solve customer problems, as porting and activating devices is a challenge. There's so many different permutations of situations that could come up. And so the opportunity to use AI to answer customer questions as they're working through their problems, I think, is one very good way for us to have a natural language discussion with customers through an AI interface to solve those problems. Another example is using generative AI to look at the personalization of a customer and kind of what we know about that customer and how we can utilize AI to make good decisions about what to offer that customer, when to offer certain things to that customer.
And Pablo, what have you seen so far at the show in these first few hours that's impressed you?
It has been only a few hours, but I see Gen AI everywhere, including massive drones. Gen AI operated. But I think everybody's on the same place trying to figure out where Gen AI makes sense. I agree with Tony that customer acquisition seems to be a very clear use case.
And so here's a personal question that I never scripted. I didn't plan on asking. Where are you personally, Tony, using any generative AI tools to help you in anything you do, whether it's work or leisure or home or family?
I'm going to have an amazing answer. I have played with it. For example, I'm a big Rush music fan.
All right.
Cool. I've asked AIs to mash up different Rush songs. If you were to create a Rush song about this or that, what would that song look like? What kind of lyrics would you put in that song? And what would it sound like? So that was very interesting.
Very interesting. What about you, Pablo? What have you used generative AI?
So I also like Rush.
I don't think
I can replace Nell Pearl. So no, I'm using it as a co-pilot of writing.
Yes.
It saves me a lot of time because English is my second language. So it helps me polish my English for sure. But I've been trying the image generation. It's unbelievable. I cannot wait to put my hands on the one that will create video.
And it's really cool. And you've been in the industry for many years. The three of us have. And we've seen things come in as a hype and disappear, or some things have stuck. And obviously Metaverse was a huge hype a couple of years ago. Do you believe that the hype around generative AI is justified?
It's real. I don't see how we go backwards from what has been exposed now. And it's going to get smarter and better. And I think it's going to be a big thing for a long time to come.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Do you agree, Pablo?
Totally. When I saw it last year, about this time of the year, I called my son and said, okay, guys, this is it. This is going to change everything. Again, we need to make sure we use it responsibly. We use it in the right place. We don't rush it, but definitely this is changing everything.
So we're coming towards the end. There's one question I'd like to ask you, Tony. If we meet again in 12 months here, and I hope we do, because it's been a great conversation so far, where would you hope to be with Cox as you keep on this journey?
So we had great growth in year one. Year two, my hope is that we multiply that times 3 to 4. So what we did in 2023, we hope to like quadruple that volume in 2024. And I carry that target on my shoulders. So I hope I can come back here and report that we achieved that target. And they love the customer experience and everything is just running very smooth. That would be a very successful year. But it's really about, because we're brand new, it's really about driving growth as fast as we can.
I would like to ask a question, Tony, about Cox. I live in Atlanta, so I see Cox in many places. I learned last year with the launch of Cox Mobile is that it was different because it was close to the community. How do you see that realizing with Cox Mobile?
Some of the things we're going to talk about here at MWC is about child safety. We just completed and wrapped up a survey of parents, and there's obviously an incredible amount of concern in the marketplace around child safety in the digital environment. And so just the number of parents that have reported that their children have been contacted by strangers on their social media apps, through their gaming apps online, and the amount of screen time that children have, and they're very savvy. Children know how to avoid getting caught during doing certain things. I have kids myself. I think you both have kids. They know better than us how to maneuver around the digital environment. So we are taking on and making a commitment to our customers that we're going to help educate parents around digital security and digital safety. And so when somebody contacts you, not only do they know who you are, they can pinpoint physically where you're located. And that becomes a much higher risk associated with that. So just helping to educate customers and a connection to the community around that is going to be something that we are committed to do.
Awesome. Now, we're almost out of time, Tony. The time has flown by. It's been a great conversation. We've got one little section that we need to finish on, and I'm going to do it for both of you. It's called TGI To Go, and it's our quick fire round. I'm going to give you two choices, and you're just going to give me your preference.
TGI To Go.
Poutine or pizza?
Pizza.
Yeah. I thought with the fact that you'd lived in Canada for a while.
Here's the thing. I have tried poutine many times. I've tried all the different toppings you can throw into a poutine mix. It always turns the fries soggy.
Pablo, poutine or pizza? You probably go, what's poutine?
My last name, pizza.
Okay. Tony, would you rather do singing or dancing?
Dancing. I'm not good at either, but it feed me a couple of drinks. The dancing takes over.
Pablo.
Two drinks, dancing. 10 drinks, singing.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
I would say in the early days of Star Wars, I would have said Star Wars easily.
Yeah.
In the last X number of years of Star Wars, I would say send me over to Star Trek.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our final TGI To Go question today, musicals or concerts?
So I would say concerts.
Yeah. Cool.
I do like concerts.
So we're out of time. It's been wonderful, Tony. Thank you, Pablo. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to make the invitation to come back and see us in 12 months and have another conversation like this. I think it'll be fantastic. I want to wish you all the best with everything that's happening at Cox. I'm a fan. I follow you guys on social media. I think it's going to be a great year ahead. So thank you very much,
great.
Tony.
I appreciate your support. And hopefully I'll be back next year.
Absolutely. So my next guest here, Barcelona MWC 2024, is Alex Sharavar, the CEO of Kazcode, who's come all the way from Kazakhstan to see us here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Let's start with a history of you and your role right now.
Originally from Ukraine, Kyiv, in Kazakhstan, last 5 years. I came from a startup. And the whole idea was to transform company in Beeline, Kazakhstan. It was a part of the strategy of Yan Group, from telco to techno. And in the first role was chief transformation officer. So the 5 years, we, from a company with 40 developers, now we have 800 people overall, and in top five IT companies in the country. And it was less than 1 million. And now it's close to 5 million.
Wow.
So it give you a boost, because when you try to do something and your passion and don't change your strategy very often, you can reach results.
And that's pretty incredible when we get into everything that you've been doing and you've done. But what's really interesting right now? What's a really interesting project that you've worked on in both the roles that you inhabit at the moment?
Yeah, now for 5 years, we understand how to make software. And now the biggest challenge for us, it's how to make a platforms and sell a software, because it's a different business. A lot of companies know how to do that, but it's not a telco company. Another thing, it's our R&D in AI. We have a large team, about 100 people in this direction. How to increase the productivity of people, how to create value from it. Because I understand where is money from NVIDIA and ChatGPT, OpenAI.
Yeah.
How we can use it and take money from that challenge.
There's two dimensions to your R&D with AI. Yeah. It's the AI that you're using to help power and improve the existing business.
Yeah.
But then as a standalone entity software, you now have customers that you're going to sell that to as well. So you've taken on both of those objectives. Who is your customer base and what sort of things are you developing?
The main customer for us is telco companies, because we're really good understanding. It's kind of fingerprints, we understand the telco business, and we understand the product.
But is it telcos within Kazakhstan that you're competing or globally?
Globally, of course. Because, in Kazakhstan, it might be challenging to, okay, it's the company of our competitors. Do we really want to...
No, exactly. Yeah.
And they can say, okay, I don't know. Maybe. And of course, we discuss with them and we propose them, but it's a tricky, the competitive advantage in Kazakhstan. So we're looking for it globally. And the first telco, and another one, it's financial, because financially it's always be on the top, from investments part, but from digital onboarding solutions for biometrics and verification and payment services. And maybe the last one is retail. Everyone become a delivery and e-commerce business. It's rising, huge rising in the companies. So I think it's maybe the main focus for us.
That's awesome. So tell us about the app that you built, that Kazcode built for the MVNO in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, it's a funny story. About 3 years ago, we understood that, okay, it will be a pretty challenging to create something that's digital challenger on the market. The first, it's a strategy and you execute your strategy. Another approach, it's startup approach. Okay, let's do something standalone, not as we usually doing it. Because you have a different metrics and a different objectives, you can do differently. So it was a startup approach. Separate team, guys, just try to understand what the customer wants. Because before that, we all have the same boring application with no customer engagement at all.
Yeah.
Because why do you need to open a telco service application once a month? And what if you want to add something to it? It won't be just a telco application. And we understand that we need to create really simply and easy, in what it's called, easy onboarding.
Yeah.
Just in a couple of taps in your smartphone. And we understand, okay, what people really want to see in application? They want to play games. They want to watch video. They want to messenger. They want radio, maybe streaming and a lot of things. And especially in Kazakhstan, it's local, because of course it's not a big deal to find in a Spotify or anywhere. But try to find the local Kazakh singers. It will be tricky.
Yeah.
And we started doing it, and the results was really, really huge. It was shocking for us.
It's a content portal localized for the people of Kazakhstan.
Yeah. It's, and firstly, of course, you can use it from anywhere. It's for local people, for local. And it's it give us dramatical growth of customer base.
Wow. And what are the numbers like now? And when did you launch this? When was the official?
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the numbers for today, about 500,000 customer base.
Wow.
And our RPU, it's higher than just in a telco application, which is really important because it's a business metrics.
Yes.
It won't be just for fun. And now it's separate business. And the daily consumption is really big. And they consume gigabytes. So it's ARPU higher in 35% and the biggest amount of monthly active users.
So that's really incredible. And then, so what next for the Easy app, and what next for Kazcode?
Yeah, now we understand that Easy as a concept, as a business stream, it might be interesting for a lot of companies. And of course, the king is the content here.
Yeah.
And it's you. And we understand that our platform might be useful for different companies.
Yeah.
And now we're pitching it here in MWC with Amdocs, because of course you need a billing, and you need not just a regular billing. You need SaaS based, subscription based billing to create it fast. Because of course the MVNO as a whole concept, and MVNO, it's doing things fast because it's attacker. So you need to be fast enough to launch it and create a content. So Kazcode is just for a platform business, because it's IT platform.
Yeah.
Now we are entering to another market with Easy. standalone, not with a partnership, but as a business. And it's really exciting because I think we can repeat the success in Kazakhstan, in another country, in Central Asia country.
Okay. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And how, so we talked about the commercial success, the technical success. You say the customers love it, and now it's going to leave its home country and make a mark on another Central Asian country. What do you think it's done for the people of Kazakhstan on a societal level, rather?
It's a local content. Yeah, there's local musicians. We can help guys from a local, who's not very famous, Kazakh artists.
You give them a platform.
Force, yeah.
We give them a market.
Yeah, we can promote them on a platform. Yeah. Because, okay, you have a good song. It's really challenging to be on Spotify or somewhere, Apple Music. Let's start with us. And we promote local talents as the same we do as developers, because all developers in Kazakhstan. Of course, it's not maybe a big deal for a couple of millions to buy the platform from any other company. I think it's maybe a lot of. But what is created locally in the people in the country, and we develop an IT capabilities inside the Kazakhstan, I think it's a good idea, because worst country have oil, country have a lot of plants, but I think IT and innovation, it's what just really drives the economy.
Is there a sense of national pride?
That
this didn't come from Silicon Valley. This came from here. It drives that adoption as well, right? That's incredible. And how is Gen AI, is that coming into the Easy app as well?
I think it's three use cases that we are now working on. The first one is to make happen when our local Kazakh large language model that we created working together with ChatGPT in a chat. Because, it's always be just answers from some, I don't know. Yeah. It might be entertaining and it might be some knowledgeable base for a customer. For some reason. Of course, we use Next Best Offer, but maybe it's not Gen AI, it's mostly machine learning issues. But anyway, now it's definition, it's really in the broader sense. So it's, and the third thing, what I think it's how to increase the productivity. Because we have, and of course, you see a lot of stuff on the customer side, but a lot of things might be happen on a site internally. And it to be a digital outside, you have to be digital inside, because other way you will make mistakes. Yeah. People usually do mistakes.
Yeah.
Not very often, but it happened. And the machines and robots can make it quicker. And it's, so I think it's the three points what is we're working now on the Easy app. And it's the same for the whole Kazakh products and platforms.
And you've lived in Kazakhstan now for 5 years. What culturally is very unique about Kazakhstan?
I think it's really unique because I can compare it with Ukraine, with Poland, with different markets when I worked before. And what I can say is that Kazakhstan, it's the world's ninth largest country by area. And with a 20 million population, it's a huge distance between. And is the first one. And another one is the population is young and the population is growing.
Okay.
It makes kind of combo of you have to be digital, because it's no any chances that you have a lot of branches and then it's customer service.
Yeah.
You have to be. And smartphone penetration and how people use the digital service, it's really impressive. Almost all people have a smartphone and pay. No one use cash in the country.
Yeah.
And the government supports digitalization. We have Astana Hub when we were resident in Astana Hub. It's a technopark for IT companies.
Yeah.
And it's already 1,400 companies there.
Yeah,
it's really big. I know it's the same. We have a lot of European.
Yeah.
But is this number of companies.
There's a lot of startups coming to Kazakhstan.
Yeah, yeah. And a number of people who decided to go to IT is growing every year. So when in 5 years ago, it was 40,000 people in IT.
Now it's, I think, 100 maybe and a half thousand people in IT. So it's growing.
And is it local people or is there people coming in as well?
Mostly local.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. So it's going to be a bit of a tech software powerhouse.
Yeah, I think Central Asia might be because no one knows it as a software country or something like that. But in comparison with Ukraine and Belarus in 5 years ago, I think it will be the next potential stars in the development because with a good level of internet, with a good technical base in universities, with a growing number of people who are entering an IT specialization and expertise, you can get access to a cheaper market for software development power.
Yeah.
And what I think it's maybe one of the biggest strengths of Kazakhstan today.
And I think the Easy app is a shining example, of the local ability.
Yeah, a lot of people know about the Kaspi success, the largest bank, and it's on a NASDAQ. But yeah, I think it will be another stars.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think that's, look, we're almost out of time. We need to do our TGI to go quick fire round where I am going to ask you some multiple choice questions and you're going to give me your preferences. But what I would say, Alex, before we get there, it's a remarkable story. Congratulations on your success with Easy.
TGI to go.
After MWC is over, you could go to Rome or Paris for a vacation. Where would you go?
Rome.
Have you been to Rome before?
Yep.
Do you like it?
Yeah, well, more than the Paris. Yeah.
This is an interesting one. I've asked everyone this week and nobody can give me a definitive answer. So ChatGPT 4 or Gemini Advanced?
ChatGPT 4.
Now, are you a Star Trek fan or a Star Wars fan?
Star Wars.
And if you went for a drink tonight, would you have a beer or a glass of Rioja?
Of course, we are in Barcelona.
Yeah.
Catalonia's. Of course, no doubts.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Alex, thank you for coming on. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I hope the rest of the week is productive. Congratulations on your success.
Thanks.
And we'll see you again next year.
Thank you.
We'll see how the journey continues.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dylan. Bye.
Wow. What an episode. A fully global bumper episode full of incredible guests. And I want to give a personal special thank you to all of you who took time to record with us in Barcelona. It's wonderful. So please subscribe to our podcast and all the usual podcast channels. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and enjoyed the show, please rate and review. Also visit our website, amdocs.com/theratingdoors. And we'll be back next week, episode 7, I believe, for more great conversations. And until then, I'm Matthew Roberts. I'm still in Barcelona for Amdocs, and have a great day wherever you are.